The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show as we get things going here, welcoming you to the Buckmaster program on this Monday, June 11th, 2018. Hope you had a great weekend. We are live from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, KVOI, on my website, buckmastershow.com and KVOI. .com. All of our podcasts, the complete show archive available for you at buckmastershow.com. 790-2040 is our live line number. Jump in if you would like to join in our Monday political face-off today, which features Bruce Ash in his fourth term now as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. And also Jeff Rogers is here. Jeff was a former chair, longtime chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, how was your weekend, Jeff?
Very good. Got a little bit of riding time in on my horses.
Yeah, speaking of horses, we'll talk about that in a moment. Bruce?
I had a lovely weekend. Thank you for asking. Working out in the garden. And actually, before the weekend started, I was in Sierra Vista giving a talk to the Arizona Convention for the Republican Federation of Women. And I heard my first thunder and felt my first drops as a thunderstorm had started just as I left to come back to Tucson. So that's to me, a big, big event.
First drops in more than 100 days,
yeah.
Probably, because certainly we have not had. Some parts of the east side got a little bit of rain, I believe, over the weekend to kind of break that 100-day without any kind of. Sierra Vista had what? How much rain do you think they had? Maybe a quarter of an inch, something like that, Ray?
Well, they've seen some rain earlier last week, so they've been getting some rain before us.
That's very good news. Part of my weekend involved going by Moe's, which, is, of course, is one of your favorite places, Bruce
Ash. It is. He's a great framer.
I had an item to pick up. And it was beautifully done, as all of Moe's work is. Moe's does that custom framed, not only for all of your artwork, but all the mirrors. He does just a fabulous job with picture framing, hanging services. And if you don't want to worry about putting it up yourself on the wall, let Moe do it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook, a proud sponsor of our Monday political face-off. Jeff, you're a horse guy. I'm just amazed at that horse, Justify. Just amazed.
Well, he's a phenomenal athlete, and like Secretariat, kind of a freak of nature. We were talking earlier before that, you know, your average thoroughbred horse is around 1,150 pounds, and this one's something like 1,350 in its weight, and he's 16.3 hands tall, which would means that I'd be staring at the top of his withers, and that's a phenomenally sized horse, and quite an achievement. So I imagine he's going to have quite the stud fee.
Yeah, and he may not run again. Although they've said he might.
Well, they've said that they expect him to run again in something, maybe the Breeders' Cup or some things like that. But, of course, that puts his value at risk. On the other hand, he hasn't been behind in any race yet. So,
Well, we'll see what happens. Bruce, of course, in just a matter of hours will be the big face-off or whatever you want.
The face-off is here, Bill. This is where it's happening,
man. Right here, but the big event happening in Singapore, really just hours away now. What did you think of the President Trump's behavior at the G7? He kind of roughed up the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, verbally roughed him up a bit. Do you think that was justified?
Well, I'd say there was a lot of roughing up on all sides. Look, The United States has been a world power, really the dominant world power since the Second World War. We rebuilt Europe. We helped rebuild Asia as well. And when we were doing that, we engaged in a type of trade policy that helped these different countries. And we put ourselves, although we've done very, very well for ourselves, Jeff and Bill, we put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage. And the president isn't trying to reverse the tariffs and the whole scheme of things. He wants to rebalance. He wants to reset this. And there's been no president in recent memory who has had the foresight and the guts to do that. And of course they're going to be upset in the G7. There's no question they'd be upset. I'd be upset if I was them. There's also a lot of people in this country who have made tons and tons and tons of money on the way that trade is handled in quote-unquote a free trade manner as opposed to a fair trade manner. And the president wants to rebalance that. And, you know, look, we are allies. We cooperate with them. They cooperate with us. We're looking for an even handshake on this.
Well, what do you think, Jeff? What was it necessary to play for kind of the tough guy role?
Well, I think he disgraced himself and humiliated himself in the United States in the eyes of the world. I think it's clear cut. One commentator said if a president of the United States were to sketch out a plan to break up the Atlantic Alliance, it would bear a striking resemblance to Trump's behavior. And that's what he's done. He's practically obliterated already the Western Alliance amongst the powers that created the post-World War II hierarchy that we have that benefited the United States for over 70 years. And let's insert a little truth on the Canada thing. We actually have a surplus with Canada if you include goods and services, not just goods. Legal services and other kinds of services that are provided to Canada. So we actually operate from a surplus there. And our trade deficit with many of our trading partners in Europe and elsewhere is actually quite small. We have one absolutely huge trading deficit, and that is with China. And if he were to do this more surgically and had said, look, what we will do is we will impose tariffs on just China, large tariffs, then maybe we could rebalance the one part trading partner that we have the worst deficit with. And also, you know, he has these tariffs that he's placed, they are not surgically placed and carefully placed. And you'll look at the ones that have been placed by Canada and our European trading partners, they're much more carefully calibrated to hurt America. One economist was quoted in a newspaper today saying that if this continues, for every job gained, we're going to lose 16 jobs. Wow. And did you see the above the fold headline in the Arizona Daily Star today, this huge project up in Oro Valley that's going to be shut down because partially because the price of steel has gone up 40% since the beginning of the year, and it's expected to go up even more. And you got to realize that steel comes in many specialty forms, and you can't just overnight build steel factories that are going to build this specialty steel. And so we're going to lose jobs, and it's going to harm our economy, and he could be singularly responsible for a downturn in the world economy, not just the American economy.
Bruce, your reaction?
Well, Jeff's reaction is the reaction to most anything and everything that's happened since the day that Donald Trump was inaugurated as president. All of the dire impact of the tax cuts, all of the dire impact of this so-called America Alone policy that only the Democrats seems to exist. And there's a whole host of other things as well. Sometime before the end of this year, we will see real progress both on NAFTA as well as our balance of trade with the European Union. But, and I agree with Jeff on this, most importantly, with China. China needs a strong United States. The United States needs a strong China. And there'll be a balance that is hit between the two parties.
Well, I'm unlike many Democrats. I don't buy that free trade has harmed America so badly. I think that free trade has helped America and helped our economy more than it's hurt it. And Donald Trump is basically espousing a position that was anathema to the Republican Party just a year ago. And he's adopted ideas that come from the Bernie Sanders wing of the Democratic Party on trade and trade barriers. And I don't stand for a moment to say that the Democrats were were right in that area. I mean, I've always been critical of the Democratic Party when it's pushed for tariffs and pushed for trade barriers.
Well, I for one, Jeff, was not on the side of most Republicans. You correctly make the comment regarding, generally speaking, tariff policies within the Republican Party. Myself and my colleagues at the RNC voted on a very, very narrow basis about 2.5 years ago regarding a import-export bank question that was up for discussion at the time. And there is, although it may not be espoused by a lot of members of Congress and the U.S. Senate, there's a lot of very, very positive sort of thought today and has been for a while on the difference between fair trade and free trade.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. We'll kind of preview what's going to be coming up in Singapore. We'll hear from Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash. 790-2040 would give you the opportunity to weigh in as well. Mo's, of course, Mo's Fine Framing and his art gallery has been a sponsor here of our Monday Political Face-Off for a long time. We very much appreciate that support, Mo's over there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And after you visited Mo to check out what he's got going on over there, how about a beautiful lunch up at Mona's? Mona's, my favorite bakery in town, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery, where they are serving lunch right now. And if you want a lovely sandwich on bread that pretty much just came out of the oven, check out Mo's. Also on our website, all of the links to our fine partners on this program. We'll be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday during the noon hour, Congressional District 2 Republican candidate Danny Morales will join us. Plus, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Buckmaster airs noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Anywhere in the world live listening, buckmastershow.com. It is the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're conveniently located Midtown, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. They're in, at moesgallery.com, and of course they're on Facebook. Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash with me on our Monday Political Face-Off, 790-2040. Before we talk about the Singapore Summit, which is just hours away, let's go local for a couple of moments. Tomorrow we have Mr. Danny Morales. He'll be the fourth of the four CD2 Republicans that we have talked to. And then on the Democratic side, coming up, we'll be talking with, I think there are eight now, Jeff, right?
Right.
Yahya, I have not met, but he will be coming up on the show.
So. I haven't met him either.
Yeah, so I wonder, Jeff, were you surprised that all eight got the signatures?
I was. I did. Okay. I expected one or two of them not to be able to get the signatures to stay on the ballot, but it'll be an interesting ride. I think probably, you know, it's really going to come down to Ann Kirkpatrick and Matt Hines, and you know, given the financial advantage Kirkpatrick has, I think she probably has a little bit of a leg up on Matt. Both of them will do an outstanding job, and I love them both and consider them friends.
And
is Yahya related to Zsa Zsa? <any chance>?
I don't know. He's a young man who has. I don't know what his following is, but we'll find out. Bruce, what about the Republican side? Leah Marquez Peterson seems to be the front runner, at least attracting the most amount of money.
Yeah, it would appear so. Mm-hmm. And I don't get involved in contested Republican primaries. Mm-hmm. But the other would-be nominees have a lot of work to do. Money is of course important. But these other candidates do have strength within what I would call, you know, Republican activists around Southern Arizona. So anything is possible. But I suspect that, you know, money is probably, as it is in the Democratic primary, probably the dominant sort of force that's going to make a position one way or another. But we will have more junk mail dropped on us and more ads and more push things on our cell phones than you can shake a stick at between now and the end of August. And if I could just make one more mention.
Of course.
The end of May also was a critical date in terms of John McCain and how his term will be finished out, assuming that he does not survive or that he retires before his term is over in 2022. At least at this time, the Republican governor, Governor Ducey, would appoint mm-hmm. a replacement who would serve in that position through the end of December 2020, when there would be an inauguration or a swearing in for a new U.S. senator from Arizona. You know, Mississippi is in the unenviable position of having to have two Senate races going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, that would have just created more money and more stuff than we ever wanted to hear or see on TV and radio and internet and everything else combined.
Right. Back to that CD2 race. I've never perceived Leah Marquez Peterson as being a Donald Trump follower or any of the other candidates sort of cut of, you know, sort of Trumpsters, as we call them?
Well, that's a good question, Jeff. And I think to the extent that I have heard them speak, while they don't directly say, I support Donald Trump, or I would vote for everything that, you know, that Democratic leadership wants me to vote for, they appear to be, from the little bit that I've seen and heard from them, mainly heard, is that, you know, they're going to be strong on most of the same things, whether it's border security, national security, you know, in general, the economy, and so on.
Well, I had Brandon Martin on and Casey Welsh. Both of them, I would say, fit very much into kind of the Trump mold. And we'll see what Danny Morales, who's had some political experience down in Douglas.
Yeah.
Danny will be here tomorrow.
And, you know, Marilyn Wiles, who was in that race for a while and switched over to running for the for LD-10 Senate, she's a very, very attractive candidate, I think, and somebody who ought to have a kind of cross-party support, I think.
All right. What do you think is going to come out of the Singapore summit, Jeff Rogers? I'll give you my – I was mentioning to both of you before the show, I think we're going to get maybe the press release has already been written that it was a huge success. So
that's yeah, I think nothing of any substance is going to come out of it, and I'll be glad if that's the truth, to tell you the truth, because I think that Trump is so desperate for a win that he might – You know, he might burn down our house to get to get some good press after what he's went through in the last 5 days. So I hope it's successful. I hope that you know, they form the basis for some kind of structure. But this is pretty complicated stuff. I mean, you know, I don't see the North Korea overnight agreeing to some kind of a trust but verify, you know, kind of inspection system of their defense facilities and atomic facilities. So I don't see that happening overnight, and there hasn't been, according to everything that's been reported, a lot of preparation go into this. I mean, Donald Trump himself admitted that he didn't do any preparation, that he thinks on his feet, sort of kind of thing. Which worries me, but I hope that it all goes well. I hope that he doesn't leave that meeting in the same fashion he left the meeting of the G7, insulting people and calling them names. I think he called Trudeau very dishonest and weak, and then his trade representative said that Trudeau would go to some special place in hell. Mm. Yeah, that's really diplomacy. Mm. That's Donald Trump diplomacy.
Well, the North Korean leader did not arrive on the flag carrier of North Korea, Bruce Ash. I'm not sure there is a flag carrier airplane.
Actually, they do have a national airline
that flies between,
and it's rated as the worst airline, commercial airline anywhere in the world.
Oh, is that the one that goes over to China on a daily basis?
So
afraid,
you know,
to travel on his own airline. Yeah,
I don't blame him.
And he did bring his own toilet. We learned that too.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah.
So let me highlight something that Mike Pompeo talked about yesterday in the talk shows. During the Reagan era, it was trust but verify, right? Well, Pompeo's talked very clearly about the V word. Verification is the most important thing, he believes, to a long-term solution. And will they come up with a solution today or, you know, later today when they meet? I don't know that they will. And if they don't, at least they've had an opportunity to meet. What Donald Trump said last week about he'll know in about 1 minute if this guy's serious, boy, I tell you, I could not be more in tune with him, because I go into dozens of business meetings every year, you know, crucial negotiations. And, you know, normally you know very, very fast if that person on the other side is going to be an honest broker, if that person is going to be sincere about wanting to make a deal with you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they are meeting is significant. It probably does a lot to bolster North Korean image around the world, which is a good thing. We don't want them trapped in a corner. The same way that Richard Nixon was the best person that could possibly have met with the Chinese at the beginning of the 1970s, Donald Trump is probably the most unlikely but the best person to be meeting with the North Korean chairman at this time. And I would say let's give it some time. Let this thing breathe a little bit.
Well, there is something to say. Research has shown that people do kind of telegraph within the first minute or two about in a meeting what their intentions are. So there is some research to back that up.
Yeah, and
you know, gut feeling
and as to the level of expertise, the Secretary of State also was very, very open about all of the people who are accompanying the president and his traveling party, as well as the working group who didn't just start this when they started talking about making a deal with North Korea. They've been working on this for years, and these same individuals are along for this trip in hopes that this is the beginning of what will be perhaps a long-term, not just negotiation, but a long-term solution. Because, look, we still don't have an armistice from the Korean War. It's 68 years or whatever the time mm-hmm. the time frame is. Still no armistice from the end of hostilities in the Korean War.
Well, one of the downsides of this meeting, and we all need to admit this, is that Trump has basically normalized a dictator who has the worst human rights record on the planet right now. And, you know, giving him this kind of publicity and this kind of an opportunity to meet with the President of the United States when we don't have a deal already inked out that they're just going to sign in a ceremonial signing is maybe something that we will come to regret.
Hmm. All right, Jeff Rogers, Bruce Ash, thank you both very much, and we'll look forward to the next time.
See you in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Check out Moe for all of your framing needs, but it goes beyond just having some beautiful work done with custom frame documents or artwork. He will come out and make sure everything is on the wall properly. And if you need any mirrors, I've got some beautiful ones that Mo has done in our two bathrooms at home. Check those out as well. It's coming up on exactly 12:30 on this Monday afternoon. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life.
Always a pleasure to welcome the Director of Communication and Consumer Affairs at the Better Business Bureau, Suzanne Miller, and the BBB here in Southern Arizona, one of the nation's top BBB affiliates, doing such a great job. And person for person over there, Suzanne, you guys have a great staff.
Thank you. I think we do, too. I'm impressed by each one of them. They're all so dedicated.
Yeah, they all bring their talents to the BBB. And normally, Suzanne, our monthly scam alert, we talk about how to protect yourself as a consumer. But this month, I want to talk about really what the BBB is all about and what kind of services it offers to Southern Arizona businesses.
Thank you, Bill. I do really agree with you in that a lot of people don't know who we are or what we do. We, you know, our seal is known. So, but I know that our community has looked to us to find businesses and brands and charities they can trust for 66 years.
Whoa.
We started downtown and we're back to downtown.
Yeah. I didn't realize 66 years.
Yeah. And if you look at us from a national level, last year, more than 160 million times we had people looking at the business BBB business profiles, and that was more than 5.2 million businesses that were looked at. So that's a big deal. And then the charity reports on 11,000 charities. So we just love our charity program. So it's all free at BBB.org.
And the BBBs they're local and they're independent, and I think there is some confusion that the BBB is somehow connected as an arm of the federal government.
I know.
Or a state government or some type
that
of governmental agency.
Is from
yeah,
that. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're not. We are a self-funded 501c6.
So when you take the whole overall BBB mission, I guess we could kind of start, it's twofold, right?
It is. We really serve both consumers and businesses.
So let's take a deep dive into beginning with the consumer front. What are some of the services available in that area?
Okay, well, let's try to condense these here because
yeah.
we do have a lot. But the biggest one that people know us for is our business directory, where consumers can find a trustworthy business. You know, they can read vetted reviews and complaints and look at their ratings, which is really critical before you hire someone. And they can file a complaint. BBB acts as the unbiased source to assist with resolution. And I know you remember this, that we just relaunched our charity review program mm-hmm. this year to help mm-hmm. consumers give wisely. And then there we have the service that many don't know about, which is our auto line program. Our operations team works really hard with that, and they assist with auto warranty concerns. And then, of course, there's my personal favorite that we do every month is our BBB Scam Tracker, where we can report and search for scams. So those are all, you know, free services to our consumers.
Yeah, and I didn't realize about the auto line program. So if someone's in the market for an automobile, whether it be new or used, check out that program, right?
Yeah, you know, I just got a new car myself, and I really had kind of peace of mind on that, you know, that if I happen to get a lemon, that, you know, BBB is there to help with that.
So that's the consumer end. And again, we're talking here about critical services to our community that are free of charge. There's no charge for those services. Now, on the business end, what about how does a business become accredited by the BBB and then get all that trust that goes with the BBB logo, an icon?
So when someone wants to become accredited with the Better Business Bureau, you really have to become vetted. Oh, enough coffee. You have to become vetted. So, you know, in being, it means BBB has determined, once you are vetted, that the business meets accreditation standards, which we hold to every business. And that includes a commitment to making a good faith effort to resolve any consumer complaints. That's really important to us. And that is an algorithm that we do not control. But if you do not resolve consumer complaints, your rating will go down. I mean, we cannot change that rhythm or that algorithm. Now, these eight principles, they summarize the important elements of creating and maintaining trust in business. These are the eight principles that we vet each and every AB with.
So these are the basic accreditation standards. And so then why is it to a business, why is it so important to be accredited by the BBB?
You know, ABs have the opportunity to enhance that business profile on our BBB business directory. Every business can be on the business directory, but ABs can really enhance it. That's important marketing and visibility. Having the BBB seal shows, and you've mentioned this before, mm-hmm. credibility and reinforces that they are a business that consumers can trust. People don't want to go down that road of, you know, having to get something fixed that they just paid for to be fixed, you know? And in May alone, our website and business directory received 43,000 site visits.
Wow.
103,000 page views. I love these stats because it just, you know, mm-hmm. it's important information people need to know. 64,000 directory views and over 12,000 directory searches. So they're searching to find a business that they, you know, can trust. And they spent an average of almost 6 minutes each time they were on it. So that's a pretty long time, especially when people's, you know, attention span these days is like 2 minutes. So it's important information.
If they're on there for almost 6 minutes, that's like an eternity in this day and age of social media and surfing the web. Visibility is so important. It's really a key when consumers have so many options. And the thing that always has jumped out at me is the word trust, because that's kind of what I have built my business around and
you
what
really
my
have
show. I like to call myself Tucson's most trusted news voice. And I think the people go to BBB because I think at the top of the list is that trust.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is really important to us. But it's not the only thing. You know, I mean, that's huge, but you get additional things. They can receive e-quote requests. They can use that accreditation seal on their website, in their emails, and their auto signature. You can get window and vehicle decals. And, you know, it really just gives consumers an immediate sense that you are a business they can trust. There's also the dynamic seal for online promotion, which is very cool. Links right to their business profile. We have a 3B Business Solutions app, which I love because it garners reviews for a business, and that's not always an easy thing to do. You have increased Google recognition. That's something that we do internally. And you have free monthly networking mixers. Our next one is coming up. It's always the fourth Thursday of the month, and they're a lot of fun, and they create incredible connections. And we also offer digital advertising and Google AdWord opportunities that are also, you know, tremendous marketing tools. So we offer all that to the ABs.
Well, I mean, that BBB seal is just so iconic. And again, it stands for something, and it stands for trust in a place that not only you can go to that is to get unbiased. And that's a key word there, the unbiased information.
Absolutely.
That you can trust.
Right. We're not getting, right. You know, just because we're an AB is accredited doesn't mean that they get special treatment. We hold everybody accountable.
They don't get special kickbacks or anything.
No,
like
not
that.
At all. And that is really just as important as people understanding we're a nonprofit, because a lot of people think that, but we really are an unbiased source. And, you know, we want people to understand that.
And if someone wants to talk with someone associated with the BBB about more information, what's the best way to do that, Suzanne Miller?
Well, of course, they can give us a call at our office. We are there 520-888-5353. That's 520-888-5353. And then, of course, our website, which has so much information, and that's at bbb.org. That's bbb.org, and that's probably why people spend 6 minutes there, because it really is full of great information.
And I look forward to, in the coming months, we're going to meet some of the people that have had really great success stories, and I look forward to hearing some of those stories from local businesses who are really going to tell their story about why they support the BBB, and that'll be coming up in coming months.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Of course, we'll keep the scam.
We
you
will
know,
keep that going
every other month.
Perhaps next month we can get back with the scam alert. Do you have anyone? I've got about a minute left. Is there any big scam out there that you want to give us a quick warning about?
Well, I definitely
anything
recommend
resurfacing.
Yes, the lottery scams.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so we just did a research study that came out last week, and that can be found on our website at bbb.org, but it's full of great information on how the lottery prize and sweepstakes scams are, you know, reaching out to people, and that they're just as crucial to knowing that information is it was, you know, way back when they first started. They're alive and well and creating billions of dollars of loss, and people just need to be aware of the red flags for that so they don't fall victim.
And the scammers keep calling. I don't know. You know, I'm on every no-call list
available,
Suzanne
you.
Miller, and they have still find me. And they're, you know, this is the IRS. You know, this is going to be your last warning. Oh, sure, right? Come on.
Yeah,
I
know.
Mean, and on and on it goes.
I am amazed. But, you know, they're smart. They're also looking at all kinds of technology, and they're using it to their advantage as well. So that's why it's important to stay aware of how the scammers are working so that you don't fall victim.
All right, Suzanne Miller, always a pleasure. And again, the number 888-5353 for the Better Business Bureau, their website, bbb.org. Suzanne, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure with you, Bill. Thank you.
All right, be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are so blessed to have a great lineup of partners on this program. One of them is Green Things, and they are now going to be the home of Zocalo. Zocalo with all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Well, they're going to be moving over to Green Things there on River Road. And before they move, guess what? Everything is on sale. Some great buys. Pre-moving sale at Zocalo, corner of Broadway and Country Club. Also, our other fine sponsor, one of our other fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, it's cooler over there. I can say that with certainty. 10 to 15 degrees cooler because of the elevation in Silver City, only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's the place to find all of the wonderful places to stay. And there are great recreation ideas, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Let's welcome now for his monthly visit and one of the two dozen contributors to this program that we are so honored to have. He's Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for over 40 years has been a very important part of the Tucson nonprofit community engaged in the exploration of the solar system. How are you, Mark?
Great to be here, Bill.
I am so sorry for the loss for the organization. Tucson has lost a real giant.
Yes, Mike Belton, who was over at Kitt Peak from 64 to 2000 and started Belton Space Exploration Industries, which was him and his wife.
Yeah.
But he was a giant of comet science, internationally prominent. He was a great a friend and colleague and mentor to many, many people in our profession. And it's a huge loss.
Well, 30 years ago when I started at the U of A, I heard about Dr. Belton's name right off the bat. He's been around a long time and really, really respected and well known internationally in your profession.
Yes, he was
a real giant.
He was the imaging team leader of the Galileo imaging team, and he. Was a telescope jockey par excellence, and like I said, he was one of the world experts in comets and changing our views of what they are and how they work. So
you've got the obituary up on the cover page at the psi.edu.
Yes, website. Yes, he was a member of our PSI board of trustees, and so we have put up his memorial on our www.psi.edu page, and we're organizing a memorial for him at the end of this month.
I wanted to talk a little bit about this New York Times op-ed piece. That moon colony is the headline. Maybe not so far off. I mean, it just seems like this just keeps getting resurrected, this whole talk about a moon colony. And
maybe three's a charm.
Yeah, maybe so, right? Wilbur Ross is the gentleman who authored this piece. What do you know about Mr. Ross?
Well, he's a business person. I don't really know that much about him. He's part of the administration. But he's... it's nice that people are thinking positively of space exploration and human activity in space and all that, and so that's a good thing, but then we always run into the practical issue, and that is it's expensive to go to the moon. And Ross does talk about, you know, unfettering the commercial sector and all that. But, you know, people in commerce are in it to make money. And right now in space, there's really one main customer for any human activity, and that's—
Could that be Uncle Sam?
That's Uncle Sam, right. And so whether Uncle Sam-based person A or person B doesn't make much difference when it's coming out of the same pocket.
Mm-hmm. So just getting maybe new vendors like SpaceX, but the customer stays the same.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, this has been great that SpaceX and others have really been working to change the cost model of getting into space. But the only kind of new business, I mean, there's been private sector stuff with communication satellites and things like that, phone, you know, service, GPS, which actually has a lot of government component to it. If space tourism ever takes off, you know, that will be a new market up there of people paying to go into space. Before it went out of business, PSI was working on its own human space activity with the ATSA Suborbital Observatory, partnering with X-Corps to launch people, PSI scientists, on a space plane to go up and make observations for 5 minutes, you know, above the Earth's atmosphere.
But that company
went out of business and went bankrupt, which was too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they had just the perfect vehicle for us.
So goes your chance to go up in space.
Well, this week.
Yeah. You know, going back to this whole colonizing the moon, I'm one of the children of the 60s, and of course, we were so optimistic and excited about the whole anything to do with the moon, but, you know, all
we
that
thought things like colonizing the moon was inevitable.
Oh, I mean,
it was just going to happen.
You know, by 1970, early 70s, we thought, you know, the next step. Certainly, within 10 years, we'd have people living on the moon. Mm-hmm. But it went away, you know. Look what happened with the gas lines, and the economy went south under the early 70s.
Well, just remember back to the 70s. Okay, all you young people listening to us here, you know, maybe I should say, just think back to the 70s. Yes. And if somebody had said, where do you think we'll be in the year 2000?
Well, I'd say, you know, we'd be on Mars.
We'd be on Mars. Yeah. I'd say we'd be on our way to the stars. We went from nothing to the moon in 8 years.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of homework that needs to be done. And you know, being taught by nuns most of my life, you know, this homework is a good thing, right?
Right.
And so there's questions about if you're going to colonize the moon, you know, then you're talking about a multi-generational presence on the moon, continuous presence. And when there's a basic question of, can Earth life, can humans reproduce and thrive in less than one gravity?
And have we ever answered that question?
We have never asked that question. You know, I mean, this is something that we could have been doing on Skylab back in the 70s. But there's, you know, and that goes for the moon, that goes for Mars. And it's very important to ask, you know, because if the answer is no, well, that doesn't mean the end of dreaming. You know, that means, well, maybe we'd be thinking about von Braun wheels or O'Neill colonies. And what are the engineering challenges of building something like that up in space? So there's, you know, I don't see there's decision points which may take you down different paths. There's not necessarily anything that slams the door in your face. And as a scientist, I have to say that it's just more interesting questions to ask and try and figure out.
The International Space Station, I believe, went up in the year 2000. So it's coming up
for
20 years now. Mm-hmm. The future of that station is pretty much still in doubt, isn't it?
It's always in doubt. You know, it was going to go down certainly by this time. It was going to go down in, you know, 2022. It was going to go down in 2026. There's always the question of how long is Congress going to commit to continuing to fund it.
And we're not funding a way to get folks up there. You have to do that through the Russians. Is that correct?
No. I mean,
to the space station,
Musk and Boeing and others, they're building these orbital ATK. You know, they're building these vehicles to send people up there, and so we are going to be very shortly having alternative ways of getting people up and down from the space station that are cheaper than before. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. But yeah, what we should do with the space station, whether we should let it burn up in the Earth's atmosphere at some point, is there anything we want to have a space station for up there? Which I think the answer is, oh, hell yes. Mm-hmm. But we got to have that plan. We've got to think beyond just the next few years or the next 5 years. You know, it's like, what is our long-term goals and desires in terms of a U.S. presence, human presence in space, and then what do we need to figure out in order to achieve those goals?
Well, we keep asking that question, don't we? And we can't come up with an answer.
Oh, we can come up with. Oh, I can come up with an answer, of course.
But we can't come up with the money to.
Well. Part of the problem is that people back east in D.C., you know, they don't want to think about the practical aspects of it and how to make something that is sustainable, or what work do we have to do in order to figure out how to make things sustainable. You know, for instance, we have this proposal for this observatory, NEOCAM, to find 300,000 near-Earth objects. Hmm. These are objects that come by, right. You know, there. And of those, 50% of them may be water-rich. You know, and from that we might be able to get fuel to not pay to take fuel up from the surface of the Earth to get to the surface of the Moon or Mars or wherever. You know, is that work? Is that practical? Well, okay, let's find out who's there. Let's then do some experiments to see what it takes to process the stuff and whether we can do all that more cheaply than $10,000 a pound up from the surface of the Earth.
Dr. Mark Sykes, Planetary Science Institute. Find out more at psi.edu.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw. That program 4 to 6, Ray Allen helping Mike out. And then, of course, tomorrow, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you until then. On behalf of Dr. Sykes and Ray Allen's smiling face on the other side of the glass, have a great afternoon.